In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There is an ancient tradition. In the creation of our beautiful nativity scenes, you see one here, they're everywhere, aren't they? Well, no, they're not everywhere, now that I think of it. In some places, they're positively banned. But in the creation of our nativity scene, we traditionally place, along with all the figures of shepherds and magi and the Holy Family themselves, also the ox and the ass. And this is a tradition that goes way back. It has its roots in Scripture. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, we read the ox knows its owner and the ass its master's crib, but Israel does not know. People do not understand. And so these figures, the ox and the ass, become symbols, shall we say, not only of the people of Israel, but also of us, church. We sometimes do not understand in a way that is selfish and obtuse and negligent. And yet we do not understand in another way, too. We do understand, but we don't understand, because we are confronted with a mystery in the birth of the Lord, the eternal Word, who existed from all eternity, who spoke the Word into the world, the whole cosmos into existence, as St. Augustine says, has become a speechless child. And we can only kneel and bow before this great mystery in wonder, like the ox and the ass that know its master's crib and yet do not know, don't quite understand. And so, in the depictions of the scene, all through history, especially in the medieval period, very often when you look at paintings and miniatures of that include the ox and the ass, virtually always there, you will see them depicted often with a kind of a human face. They look a little bit like they might be us in the middle of the painting. Very often you'll see them with very human-looking eyes, human faces, and almost human expressions of awe, and joy. Sometimes painters will depict them trying to get very close, pure, right over the edge, right into the manger to see the baby Jesus. Well, through poems and songs and paintings, depictions of art of the scene, the ox and the ass, there have always been, I think, attempts to a sense, a real Christian sense, that these figures can stand for us, they can symbolize us in many different ways. Indeed, all the figures of the nativity scene can take on symbolic meaning. We might, for example, very easily, some of you might gaze at Mary, and she will touch all mothers in a certain way. She does stand for all mothers in a way. We will look at Joseph and think of all fathers, right? Perhaps we'll look at the shepherds and see the rank and file dough bag of donuts out there, Mary bag of donuts out there tending to their daily list of things to do, right? Pausing for a moment to adore the Christ child. We can look at the wise men. Who knows, maybe the wise men are people, I don't know, maybe people more like me, you know, people who travel around all the time and get, you know, confused in their overly complicated thoughts so that they are late to the manger while the shepherds, simple people, get there first. Then you have the ox. You know, the ox might symbolize working class people, people who work very hard, people who are maybe even involved with manual labor, people who are self-reliant. You know, they don't expect handouts. They just tend to work. And the ass, well, I think that would be probably Democrats. But we always will find, a way to imagine ourselves before the Christ child. And these beautiful traditional figures help us into that scene. They teach us how to gaze with wonder, to gaze with love, to gaze with admiration and appreciation for what's happening, but also to gaze questioningly here. What is really happening here? What does this all mean? What does it mean in the big picture? What does it mean for me? Well, there may be a way in which, in an ongoing way during the year, as you go to Holy Mass during the days, whether it's a humble, a low Mass or a solemn Mass, a sun Mass that we have here, a solemn Mass that we had last night, maybe even a pontifical Mass, you who are going to the older form of our Roman Rite, may make a connection between Mass itself and the Nativity scene, so that the wonder, the appreciation, and the questioning that can take place before the speechless child who is the eternal Word. Maybe you can make a connection between Mass itself and the Nativity scene. You know, there are ways in which I think they're deeply connected. The one reflects the other. For example, there are bookends right within the Nativity scene, aren't there? For example, the humility of the Christ child is a sign of the deep humility, self-emptying, and degradation by us of the Lord at the end of his earthly life. In the beginning of his life, we see also the end of his life foreshadowed. The wood of the little manger there foreshadows the wood of the cross. The shedding of his blood and his circumcision foreshadows the shedding of his blood on Calvary. His little cry as a baby from his manger is a pre-echo, as it were, of his cry from the cross. The Magi, who are non-Jews, come to adore the Lord and recognize his divinity. At the end, there is also another non-Jew who recognizes his divinity, the centurion. Remember, the centurion makes an act of faith there on Golgotha, the one foreshadowing or answering the other. When the Lord is taken down off of his cross and given to his mother, you can imagine what she must have done with his head, that his neck can no longer bear support. She must have cradled it, very much like mothers do the heads of their newborn children. There are bookends. The Nativity foreshadows the Lord's sacrifice and Calvary, the one self-emptying to take our human nature into a bond with his divinity, foreshadows the ultimate self-emptying at the end, when he saves us from our sins and he teaches us who we are by that ultimate act of sacrificial love. Now, these bookends we can find also in Holy Mass. Today, for example, perfect day to look for it, the third Mass of Christmas, right? So for the Gospel reading, what do we have? We have the last Gospel. The beginning of the Gospel of John is the last Gospel at the end of every Mass, almost every Mass. We do a different one today because we've already heard the beginning of John for our Gospel reading. But the last Gospel, at the end of Mass, talks very much about Christ's beginning. When he comes into the world, when the eternal Word enters into our human life with us. The end of Mass recalls the beginning. Well, if that is the case, is it possible then that the very beginning of Mass might recall his end? If you gaze on the Nativity scene now, you might think about how Mass begins. Mass, which is the sacrifice of Calvary. As you go to Mass then during the year, you might also recall the Nativity scene. As you go through the year, you might think, as you hear the prayers at the foot of the altar, the crying of the Lord in his manger, the speechless child crying, a content filled cry that foreshadows not only the joy of his mission beginning in his absolute youth, but also the anticipation of what he is going to experience for each one of us, a sinner. Let's just for a moment, since we have in English the last Gospel as our Gospel, Let's perhaps reflect for a moment together, imagining the little boy crying this out, even as he's born. I will go unto the altar of God. To God gives joy to my youth. Do me justice, O God, and fight my fight against a faithless people. Rescue me from the wicked and deceitful man. For you, O God, are my strength. Why do you keep me so far away? Why must I go about in mourning with the enemy oppressing me? Send forth your light and your truth. They shall lead me on and bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. I will go in to the altar of God, to the God who gives joy to my youth. I will praise you on the harp, O God, my God. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why do you sigh within me? Hope in God, for I shall again be praising him, my own Savior and my God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I will go in to the altar of God, to God who gives joy to my youth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.